Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Be Inspired with Michelle G Show. I am your host, Michelle G. As always, if you would like to call in with your questions or comments, that number is 1-929-477-2554. Again, that number is 1-929-477-2554. Tonight's show is going to be one that I believe is going to be inspirational. There's no greater feeling than when you realize your purpose and then begin to walk in and serve your purpose. And you guys know that I am very big on purpose. And that's why I believe that this show is going to be an inspirational one, because the woman of God that I have joining me tonight, Pastor Tasha Moore, she's serving her purpose. She's living her purpose. And I have found that she is an inspiration to many. I'm going to bring her on in just a few minutes, but let me let you know a little bit about her. Tasha Moore has been preaching since her mid-20s and has been in pastoral ministry since 2014. She served as youth pastor of the House of New Beginnings in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina for 3 years. Tasha is a native of Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. She studied at Ori Georgetown Technical College, the University of Phoenix, and Life Strategies Now, from which she's earned an Associate's in Human Services degree and her Life Coaching Certification. An effective communicator of God's Word, Pastor Tasha is widely known for her practical and dynamic teaching style, which helps people apply the timeless truths of Scripture to their everyday lives. She's also an author whose latest book is entitled Letter to a Father, All the Things You Want to Say. In this inspiring book, Tasha shares practical insights on rebuilding broken places in our lives and reclaiming peace and joy. She and her husband, Mike, have been married since 2002. She has three beautiful children, Kirsten, Cassidy, and Katana. I hesitated on the names because I'm really bad with names, and you guys know that. And if I'm wrong, then Pastor Tasha, I'm going to ask her to correct me when she comes on. I'm going to bring her on because I can see she's already on the line, and I'm excited about talking to her, so I'm going to go ahead and get started. Hello, Pastor Tasha.
Hello, how are you?
I am fine. Thank you so much for joining me tonight.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I hope I don't know if you heard or not, but I don't know. Did I pronounce your daughter's names right?
I did. I heard. You got two of them right. It's Katana and Kirsten and Cassidy.
Katana. And
yes.
You know, she's written first on your bio, but that's the one I was going to have an issue with, so I said it last.
Right.
I am so bad with names.
No, it's okay.
And I will
it's
mess
okay.
up a name in a minute. So... But I don't mind being corrected. So, you know, I don't mind being corrected. Okay, Katana. Okay. All three names are beautiful. And I don't like to mess up anybody's name, especially when it's that beautiful. Katana.
It happens to me all the time. I understand. It's okay.
Okay. When I was thinking about doing, I'm going to jump right in because I say it all the time, an hour would go by real fast.
Okay.
And I'm excited about tonight because, believe it or not, I've been excited all day to talk to you, because when we first like officially met, I've seen you. I think we've been in church services at the same time, but I've never really talked to you. But that day that we were at that birthday party and I talked to you, I remember saying, "Me and you gonna have to work together. Me and you gonna have to connect," because even from just talking to you for those few moments, it was really inspiring to me. So I've been excited ever since you told me you were going to be on the show. So that's why I said in the beginning that you're inspiring to many, because I think what's so great about that is because you are, and I think that you don't even give it a second thought. You don't even realize how many people you inspire, because you're just being who you've been created to be. And in being that, you just inspire people. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, because that is exactly who I am. I tell everybody all the time, it's funny because I can see things in everyone else, and everyone else can see things in me, and I don't see it in myself.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. See, we're going to have to touch on this. I got a feeling the show is going to kind of flow. I got
it
a
is.
Feeling this is going to go, it's going to flow. And that was my prayer before the show. I was, Lord, let it just flow however you want it to flow.
Amen.
I was having, when thinking about doing the show, there's so much I want to ask you because you wear so many different hats.
Okay.
And I was like, where am I going to really start with her? I really want to touch on everything, and I know time may not permit that, but I think the best place to start is, Pastor, what is it like being, if this is a two-part question, what is it like being a pastor, and do you think there is different treatment, or have you found it to be more difficult being a woman and being a pastor?
Okay. I will answer the first part of it first. For me, being a pastor, I don't want to say difficult, but I want to say pay very close attention. It makes you very aware. I know for me personally, because I feel like I don't want to falter, or I don't want to mess up, or I don't want to hinder or block somebody else's walk. So I have to be aware of what I'm doing all the time, I feel. So in moments where I would maybe want to be like, oh, my goodness, I don't allow myself those, because I feel like if somebody sees me have an oh, my goodness moment, are they going to want to listen to me when I preach? Are they really going to receive what I have to say? Yes, we're human and no one is perfect, but we ought to every day be striving for perfection. So for me, it sometimes gets a little difficult because I'm like, oh, I can't mess up. I can't mess up, even though I know I'm supposed to allow myself to. I feel like I can't. And for being a woman pastor, maybe some years ago when I started, people were kind of like, oh, you know what? But now, you know, we come through. Women we're a little more privileged now than we were. I guess maybe when I started out, and even when I was younger, you know, there weren't as many women pastors. But now I feel like, you know, it's our time. Women are coming all the way, and we coming hard, and we coming strong, and we're trying to build kingdom, and we're trying to walk in purpose. So in the beginning, maybe a little bit, but now I don't think as much as it used to be. I don't think it's so different.
Yeah, and see, I know that, and I understand what you're saying. I'm not a pastor, and Lord, I don't believe that I was called to do that. Thank you, Lord. I just because it's such a weight, and I don't think that people realize how much of a weight it is that a pastor carries. In saying that, because I know you have to, you know what I'm saying, with counseling, and you have to take on so much from other people. Sometimes with that weight, because I know sometimes I question, like, Lord, you sure you called me to this?
Okay.
Are you sure? Have you ever had that moment as a pastor with everything that you have to carry?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Because I tell people all the time, I'm not a people person. And they look at me and they laugh, and I'm like, but I really, honestly, for me, I'm going to be transparent. I had to come to a place where I really prayed to God to help me to be able to deal with people, because I am very quick at the tongue. I come strong, hard, and I slice, and I don't even think about it. Like, my words come out before they're even processed in my brain, and it has always been that way for me. So I really honestly had to pray and ask God to help deal with me and my mouth so that it doesn't come out so harsh all the time. But the weight of it is so real all the time. I cannot tell you the amount of times where my husband would be like, honey, I know you're tired. And I'm like, I'm coming. You know, I'm on the phone trying to help somebody through their situation. Or my daughters are, mom. And I'm like, give me 1 minute. You know, and 1 minute is 3 hours later. I'm on the phone still trying to help somebody through their stuff. So it is a weight, but I ask God to help me to be able to balance it all, because it is a balancing act, and people don't realize and understand how much weight there is on being a pastor. You have to be everything to everybody all the time. Every time your phone rings, they expect you to answer. They don't care if you're sitting at dinner with your family and you're eating, because their need, and they feel like they need you now. It doesn't matter if there's a, you know, I'm missing my daughter's recital. Whatever their need is, they want me now. So it is a way, and I know for me, I feel obligated. I used to, rather. I am learning that I have to balance it. I have to balance being a mom, being a wife, being a friend, being a pastor. You know, I have to balance it all so that everyone can kind of get equal parts of me, if that makes sense. God first, of course, but balancing the natural is hard sometimes, trying to figure it all out. But I'm working on it.
And you know what? That kind of touched on my next question. You kind of answered it because you said you're working on it. Because my next question was, how do you manage all of that ministry full time and still being a wife and a mother? And I think what you said was really, I want people to really focus in on what you just said, because they don't realize how much weight they put on a pastor. Because at the end of the day, you still have a life outside of that. And they do expect for you to be everything to everybody all the time. And no matter, they know you have children, they know you have a husband, but when they call, they expect for you to drop all of that and take care of what they need then. And I think in that way, we become a little bit selfish when it comes to our leaders and our pastors, because we're thinking about self. Because what I got to handle and what I'm dealing with right now, Pastor, is important. And I know you got your daughter's recital up, but I don't really care about that right now. I need you to handle my stuff. And it's kind of selfish. And for me, that's why I say I thank God that He didn't call me to that role, because I'll be like, hold up, wait a minute, you know, because I know what it is with the mouth too. And see, you know, I'll be like, wait a minute. I'm just not, you know, I won't even answer the phone. Like, no, I'm not dealing with you right now. So, I don't know how you do it. Like, I don't know how, because you have three beautiful daughters. And I see that they're active. And
girl,
then you have a husband. And see, I have one child, and my one drives me up the wall.
Honey.
My one drives me up the wall, and I haven't been blessed with a husband yet. But, Lord, I believe He's coming eventually.
He's coming. You know what I'm saying? Yes, He is. Yes, He is.
But I don't know, how do you handle it?
Honey, I tell people prayer and supplication, and they laugh. I'm like, much prayer, much prayer. They're like, I don't see how you do that. I know for me, I had to understand that everyone's emergency is not my emergency, if that makes sense. Your emergency is your emergency. And I sympathize with you in whatever it is that you're going through. And I also had to realize that I am not God. I am His tangible hands here on earth. But you have to build a relationship with Him that you realize, you know what, some things I just got to fight through on my own. I can't call my pastor for everything. I can't call the elders for everything. Now, don't get me wrong. There are times when you do need this. But there are some times, like I tell my girls, we got to grow up. There are times when we, in our faith walk and our Christian walk with God, we have to grow up. When you're a baby, yes, I give you a little bit of concession. But when you're in this thing, no, I'm going to need you to put your big girl stuff on today, or your big boy stuff on, and handle things a little bit better. I try to teach people that when you have an effective and an intimate relationship with God, you realize I don't need my pastor for everything. You know, I don't need to call sister such and such this time. I can get on my knees, or I can sit in my chair. I can do however it is that you talk to God, and I can say, oh, God, okay, God, I need you to help me deal with this. And for me, I had to develop contact hours. I'm sorry. This is during my no contact hour. And I had to tell people, hey, you know, I'm praying for you, but I'm going to have to give you a call later. And at first they was like, what? Like, wait a minute, you're not going to talk to me right now? Because they were so used to me being like, yeah, this, that, or the other. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And spending hours on the phone with them. You know, so now I try to limit it and say, hey, you know, I understand. Give them a few little nuggets that they can marinate on for a little while. And then I'm like, you know, I'm going to pray for you, and then I'm going to have to give you a call tomorrow. or, you know, I'm praying that you'll get the answer that you need, or that, it, you know, this works out for you. But I had to realize, like, Tasha, you're making people count on you when they should be counting on God.
Wow.
You're making, you know, people are so used to coming to you when they should be coming to our Father. So I had to realize that as much as I was trying to help, I was becoming a crutch for people. You know, and when we try to take the place of God, that don't work out. You know, God said, you'll have no God, other God before me. So I'm like, look, I don't want y'all to think I'm your God. I'm just his tangible hands, and he'll use me sometimes to speak to you. But he'll speak to you, too, if you let him.
Yes.
So I had to come to a place where I said, you know what, I have to have no contact hours, because I have to be fair to my family as well as the people of God. It's not fair. You know, that's just like if you have something all the time and your good friend never shows up, you're going to begin to question that. And if I'm the one who always shows up, what do they need God for? If I'm the one who always comes through, why do they need to talk to God? So I feel for me, that's what I had to learn in pastoring. I have to have no contact hour. You can always contact God. He's there always, all the time. But Tasha, no, you can't contact me right now, baby. I'm going to have to talk to you later. But I'm praying for you.
That is powerful what you said, because like you said, if they're depending on you, then they're not going to turn to God if you're always the one there. And I get the no contact hour, because I have this thing called my do not disturb me time. And I don't care what's going on. I'm not picking up my phone. I'm not answering you. I'm not even going to respond to your text, because that's my do not disturb time. I don't want to be bothered. And it's not that I'm doing something. I have plans. And I tell people all the time, I don't care if my plans is to be on my couch flipping my TV.
That's
my plan.
They steal your plan. There you go.
They steal my plans. And if you don't make people respect your time, they won't.
They won't. Amen.
They won't. And you know what, when you were saying, you know, a person's emergency, I had this saying that I used to say all the time, just because it's your emergency doesn't make it my urgency.
That's it. Amen.
I'm not dropping what I do. You know what I mean? So I think that was so powerful, especially when you were saying how, you know, you didn't want to replace God for them.
Right.
And essentially that's what some pastors, you know, do, not meaning to do it.
Not meaning
to do it. They just
want
to help because their heart is in the right place.
Right, right, right.
But then that's how people end up putting their pastor up on these big, big pedestals.
Mm-hmm.
And when they found out the pastor's human, it just completely crushes them.
It absolutely does. And that is, I do my best to be very aware of that. Like, don't put your focus on me. I appreciate that you're receiving, that God is using me to speak into your life. But I need you to realize that it's him talking and not me. I'm just the body that he and the voice that he is using to do it. But it's coming from him. So always keep your focus on him. And I had to realize that it's part of my ministry, the best part of my ministry is being a mom and a wife. Because if I can't first minister to my family, how effective am I really? Let's just be real and honest. If the ones that live in the house with me can't receive a word from me, to me, that's a problem. But I understand that is me spending time with them and knowing, hey, I'm still mom and I'm still your wife, you know, as much as I give. And then it allows for them to allow me to go give unto God's people, you know, because I have spent time with them. And when I say, you know, babe, I got to go out of town to speak, he's all, oh, okay, you know, because I've given him time as well. So it's not, you don't spend no time with me and then you going out of town, you know, because reality of that is that gives people a distorted view of God. As much as we say it's us, we say that we're doing this work for God, but it makes it, you know, for people who might not be in that place, or people who see, you know, she gone all the time and her husband and you got to go all the time and this, that, or the other. So when we find the balance in it, God will make, because he's not the author of confusion. How I'm going, you know, to preach his word and then there's an issue at home. To me, that's not of God. He's going to make things smooth. And my husband's like, okay, babe, all right, have fun. See you when you get back. Have a good time. Preach your word. And I'm like, okay, you know. And then my girls, I've spent time with them. So they're like, okay, mommy, we'll see you when you get back. Or, you know, there has to be a balance. There just has to be.
There has to be. And I love that because I'm trying to balance some other things now. But as far as like you know, church is concerned, I've learned to balance those things. I don't go to every conference. I don't go to every service that's out of town. I don't do that. I used to try to go all the time, but I don't do that because there has to be a balance. Now, there's still areas that I need to balance in, but on that part, and people who know me got to know, and when they see me there, they be like, oh, you came? Because they know I don't go like that anymore. I used to, but I had to start backing off from that, because you do have to have balance. And, ministry can tire you out physically, emotionally, mentally. It can be tiring. So, you have to find some kind of balance to make sure that you're taking care of you, because if you're tired in all those ways, how can you really effectively serve the kingdom?
Exactly. I tell people all the time, I use the analogy of a bottle of water. If you tip it over and it just continues to pour out and you never lean it up to refill it, how does it get full again? If we as people of God are always pouring out, pouring out, pouring out, pouring out, but we never sit down for a second to get refilled, how do we get full to pour out again? Once the bottle is empty, it's empty. There's no, unless you turn it back up and fill the water again. So that's the analogy I use. I tell people, y'all not about to empty me. And they look and they laugh and they're like, I'm like, And we have to realize and understand not every assignment is ours just because we are invited. We have to be strategic and very specific in the things that we do and do not accept, leading and going on our journey to purpose and destiny. I can't kill every soul as much as I might want to. There are some things that are just not for me to do, even though I've been invited to do them. You can't always give a yes, because if that's not your assignment, you're not building kingdom. You're just taking up time.
You better say that. And you don't know this, but most of the people the listeners who listen to me know that when something gets excited, I go to wiggling in my seat. I am wiggling right now. Because that is so true, because oftentimes we don't look at things, and I say it all the time, I have to be intentional in everything I do.
Amen.
Intentional. Because, if I have to be intentional and seek God and make sure that this is what I need to be doing. You know what I'm saying? Because you're right. If you are going just because you were invited, then what purpose are you serving?
Mm-hmm.
Kingdom isn't getting built that way, because you didn't have to be there. You just went because you were invited, and you're trying to do something, but you weren't really, you know what I mean? So you got me. We're in my seat. Because that right there, I love it, because it's so true. And so often we don't get it.
We don't
get it, because we're so busy sometimes trying to be deep. And I say it a lot too. We so deep that we're drowning.
We just
try to be so deep all the time. It is not. It ain't even that. I mean, it's that serious, but you don't have to be that deep.
Okay.
You don't. Because you can get it across. Without all that, and having to be here and having to be there. Anyway, that's going to get me on a soapbox. So let me get off a little soapbox right now before I get started. See, I can talk about that all day, because just you as a pastor is inspiring, and how you're managing and figuring out how to manage all that and still move forward. But I do want to touch on some of the other hats you wear.
Okay.
I want to talk about life coach. Now, that's a new role you have taken on in your life. And can you tell the listeners what led you to life coaching? What triggered that desire?
Okay. I won't necessarily say that it was a desire, but it was purpose. Because when I sat down with myself, and I'm sure most of us have had it, if not, you will have that kind of, okay, God, there's got to be more to life than this. There has to be something more that I should be doing towards building the kingdom, God. And I know here recently I've heard more people say it than not. What's my purpose? Why am I here? What, I don't know what I'm here to do. I really don't know. I don't know what I like. I don't know. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know what I'm supposed to do at church. I don't know what I'm supposed to do at work. They just have this I don't know. And when I was sitting with myself, I was like, Lord, you know I pastor and I know I do, but to be perfectly honest, I'm tired of working on people's jobs. I'm just going to be real. I'm tired. Mm-hmm. I'm like, Lord, don't get me wrong. I'm grateful. But, God, I know that there is something more that you're requiring of me. I just feel that. And so when I sat down with myself and I was honest and I was like, okay, God, what am I supposed to do? I can remember conversations that I had with people. And, honey, anybody who knows me knows the struggle is I don't remember stuff. If I don't write it down or put it in my notebook or something, I don't remember. But it was like in that moment, I can remember conversations. I had been toiling with like, oh, you know, a bunch of people. Oh, I'm life coach. You should look into it. Da-da-da-da. And I, you know, didn't think any more of it. And I was kind of like, oh, yeah, you know, that's cool. I didn't think anything else. But I was scrolling through Facebook and I saw an ad or a sponsor or whatever. And it was like a life coach thing. And one of my friends that is a life coach liked it. And so I was sitting there and I was like, you know, maybe, to her for a little bit. And she was like, yeah, you know, you need to look into this such and such and such and such. And I was like, okay, you know, maybe. And I was sitting there and I was like, well, maybe, you know, I can look into this and see what it's about. So I started asking questions to see what it was about and got some information. But before I did all that, it was like, God, I saw myself. So many conversations that I had with people, and I realized in that moment that I had been life coaching most of my life. I just never paid attention to it in the pursuit of doing jobs and things that needed to be done, but never really realized that people come to me all the time for advice. People come to me all the time to help them. People call me with a friend, can I bring my friend to your house? I told them they need to talk to you. I'm at work, and I walk through, and they're like, oh, you come here. I was just telling her, she need to talk to you. And I'm like, okay. I could be sitting and say, hi, how are you to someone? And they look at me, and they're like, oh, I'm good. And in 15 minutes, I have their whole life story. And I'm like, all I said was, hi. How are you? Like, how do we get to this conversation? I just said, how you doing today? And they're like, oh, and this is going on. And I'm like, do I have talk to me written somewhere on me? Like, did somebody stick a sticker to my back that said, oh, just tell her all your problems? But I realized in that moment that people have always been coming to me to help them through. And I realized I've been helping people figure out purpose for a very long time, but I never paid attention that God was using me that way. I just did it because it was what I did. People always came and talked to me, and I'd give them advice or give them, you know, okay, well, this is what God said. This is what he led me to say to you, but I never realized, like, Tasha, hello. I told my friend today, I said, I realize now more than any other time in my life into my word. They pay attention to what I say. I could have a conversation with someone and say some little something or a tagline, and I will hear it back from them 9 times out of 10 in a conversation. With they'll be like, oh, my goodness, I told somebody today what you said. A young lady told me the other day, she said, I can remember most messages that I've been in that you have spoken and exactly what you were wearing when you said it. And I was like, wow. What? And she was like, I pay attention when you talk. And she was talking about her and her mom. And she was like, and my mom was like, I pay attention to her. And I was like, oh, my God. Like you said, I never realized that until now in my life. Like, people pay attention to my words, which is why I'm a talker. I've always been a talker.
Wow. That is, I just got so much I want to say. I got so much I want to say because you are, it was, you being a life coach was purposed. I'm really big on purpose. I have a saying, and it's my motto, to live on purpose, live with purpose, and always serve your purpose.
Amen.
And that's what I live by. And you're right with what, and now that I think about it, you know, that's what triggered me wanting to work with you, because talking to you, I was listening to what you were saying, and there were some things that you were saying, and the way you said it caught my attention, because the way you worded was just, it may have been simple to other people, but it just caught my attention. And one of my prayers has always been, you know, because I have a gift to gab, which is why I guess God created this platform for me, because I do have a gift to gab. But I, my prayer is always, God, let me, even in my gabbing and all my talking that I do, let my words always be relevant.
Mm-hmm.
And I spoke with someone today who knew you, and her words were, she said, now she's for real. She said, because if anybody can walk up to me and tell me about myself the way she does and speaks into my life the way she does, she's for real. She said, I just love her. And she lives in my neighborhood. I've seen her, and I say, hey, in passing. But the day she walked over and she started talking to me, her name is Tammy. I'm sure that I'm bad with names, but I'm sure she said her name was Tammy. I'm sure she said her name was Tammy. I told you I was bad with names. But she said that, I do remember what she said, though, about you. And she said that about you. And she said, and she said, if anybody can walk up to me and speak into my life like she speaks into my life and tell me about me like she does, they got to be real. And she said, I just love her. And I was getting ready to go somewhere, so I got in my car and I had left. But that stuck with me. So that's why I say, you impact and you inspire people. You inspire many. And what you were just saying, you were purposed for it. Life coaching, I don't fully understand what all entails in life coaching, and maybe you can, you know, briefly describe that, because I did notice on your advertisement you says purpose plus power equal prosperity.
Amen.
Before we go into it, we're getting ready to talk about why I named this show Impacting the Kingdom, which is basically everybody should know that by now, because just talking to you, they can see why I entitled this Impacting the Kingdom, because you're making an impact in the kingdom for sure. But I want to go into your book and talk about your book this last, because we've already been discussing for 30 minutes now. So,
I know.
See, time goes by fast, don't it?
Okay.
So I do want to get into that, but before we do, I do want you to briefly explain what life coaching entails and what does the concept purpose plus power equal prosperity? How did you put those together?
Okay, for
life coaching is basically me helping you figure out what's already inside of you. I'm not a psychiatrist or anything like that, but the reality of it is your purpose is in you. It's embedded in you. It's in your DNA. And not just I'm a purpose coach, but anybody who does life coaching, whether it's a relationship or anything like that, you just help the people find the answers that are already in them. My little tagline is, you already have the lock. Sometimes you just need a little bit of help with the key.
I like that.
So the answers are in you. Sometimes you just need a little help dusting them off. And that is what a life coach does, whether it's in business or relationships or, you know, there's so many areas of it, and I do it all. But I knew that my niche, as they say, was purpose, because I realized that so many people don't understand what it is. Ultimately, we all have one purpose, and that's to spread the good news of God. But we all have different avenues of destiny, which is ultimately our purpose. So we all have different ways that we're going to get where God is taking us. And I realized that my purpose is tied to somebody else's. They can't walk in theirs if I don't walk in mine. So there's so many people that are out here that other people are attached to, that they don't even know that they're attached to them. And until they do what God has said for them to do,
that other person can't do what they're supposed to do. Because if you're supposed to have a business, there's somebody who's supposed to make your T-shirts. The person who's supposed to make your T-shirts or signs or cards can't do that if you don't start your business.
Yes.
So I realized that so many of us struggle with figuring out who we are in God. And so for me, I really wanted young women, the purpose is we all have one. The POWER is an acronym God gave me so many years ago, and I never realized when I was going to use it. It's providing ourselves wisdom, encouraging responsibility. We have to provide ourselves with the knowledge. I tell people all day, and my catchphrase is, knowledge is not power. People say that the application of knowledge is power. You can have stuff in your head all day, but if you don't apply it, what good is it? It's the application. Okay, of the knowledge that we obtain, you got to apply it. That was what God gave me this morning. What good is it to read his word and not apply it to your life? That's a waste of time.
Yes.
Your goal every day when we're reading God's word and searching it and trying to dissect it should be, God, how is this applicable to my life? How does this apply to me? Because it does in some way, shape, form, or fashion. It's just us figuring out how this applies to Tasha. Okay, God, I read that. How does this apply to me? How does this apply to Michelle? But I tell people that's why it's key to not just read it, but sit down and meditate on it. Because if you read it the first time, you didn't read with understanding. You read to read, is what I tell my daughters. We going to read it a second time, and we're reading because we want to understand a little bit. When we get to that third time, then we're reading for understanding. I told them, give me one for the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They be like, Mom, I'm going to be, how many times did you read it? And they be like, you owe me two more times. Read it. And the reality of that is, they come to me, and they come, usually that third time, they be like, okay, Mama, what is it that you read? Tell me what you understand from what you read. And they can, because the first time you're just reading through it to read. Oh, I read my daily devotion today. I read my scripture today. What did it say? Oh, it was Jesus wept. Okay, well, what does that mean? Oh, Jesus cried. No, what does that mean to you?
Wow.
Because we can all, yeah, Jesus did it. Okay. They be like, Mama, you always, I tell them the Trinity, honey, it's key. I got three girls. I got the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. We good. But I tell them, no, you give me three times. And then I feel like you know, and they be like, oh, Mom. I'm like, read it again, because the first time you didn't really understand what you read. If we're honest, most times when we read something through the first time, we don't comprehend it like that. We read it. We might get bits and pieces of it. But to really sit and understand, you know, I said we have all the time, we have these one-sided conversations with God. We get up, we pray, and I'm, you know, oh, I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm waiting on the Lord to answer me. How do you know he didn't already? How do you know he didn't want to already? When we pray, do you sit and listen and wait for an answer? No. Most times we get up, we pray, and we like, okay, go on about. That's like me walking in the room and saying, Michelle, I need you to do this, and turn around and walk out, and I don't wait to see if you understood anything I said.
Truly.
I don't wait to see if you even heard what I said. But we do this one-sided thing with God so that we can say we prayed, because that sounds good when I'm in conversation with you. Oh, yeah, I prayed today, girl. I read today. But what did you understand about what you read? What did you get? And when you prayed, did you wait to see if he was going to answer you right then? I tell people all the time, I think some of us missed a whole lot of answers because God wanted to answer you instantaneously, but you got up from the conversation.
Whew.
And you still ain't on the answer he already gave you. But you was out of the room when he gave it.
Ooh, you got me. I'm wiggling in my seat again.
You wiggling.
I'm wiggling in my seat.
We don't sit and wait when we pray. How often do we sit and meditate and say, okay, God, I'm listening. Because if you're speaking, I'm here to listen.
That is so true. And that is so powerful. That is so powerful, and you're absolutely right, because a lot of times we don't. A lot of times
we don't
because we do it out of tradition, because we know we're supposed to pray, you know, pray at night before we go to bed. You know what I'm saying? We know we're supposed to do these things, and we do it because it sounds good, or because we know this is what my mom always told me to pray before I go to bed, say a quick prayer in the morning, you know, all that other stuff, but we don't take that time.
We don't take
you don't take that time. And I have not only do I have that do not disturb me time, but I also have quiet time.
Amen.
My quiet time is separate from my do not disturb time. Because my do not disturb time, I may just sit and read a book for a few. I may just look at TV, whatever that is. But my quiet time is my time when I sit down and I just get quiet so that I can hear from God.
So that you can hear
I just
from
sit and get quiet. Just so that I can hear, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? How do you want me to handle this situation? How do you want me to go about this? And I just sit quietly. And he'll talk to you. He'll
he
check.
Will. He will.
And I have that quiet. I've had quiet times where I just shut off. I didn't even do my show because I had to pray. I had to seek God, and I had to get quiet. And I told the listeners, I won't be here. I'm taking a sabbatical, a little hiatus. Because right now, I'm going through some stuff. And I need direction. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take some time. It may be a month. It may be 2 months. I'm going to take some time. And I got to pray. I got to seek God. And I got to get quiet so I can hear what he wants me to do.
Absolutely.
And you have to get quiet. And you have
you
to
have
listen.
Amen.
You have to listen. And when you said that, you left out the room. Whew, that thing just got to me. I love that the way you said it. He wanted to answer you instantaneously, but you got up and you left the room.
You got
now
up.
Now you waiting on the answer he already gave you.
He already gave it to you. See, that, like, that's
you just
like your child coming to the room saying, Mama, can I say this? And they turn around and walk off for you get a chance to say yes. And then he's like, can I go to the party? I answered you. You walked out before you listened to what I had to say. And then they're like, oh, I'm
and so
sorry,
when you figure out, you know what my response will be after that? So when you figure out and you try to go back and replay that and figure out what I said, then we'll talk.
Let me know.
Yeah, let me know if you let me know what you come up with. That'll teach
and
you
let
about
me know
away.
How that works out for you. Exactly.
That was so powerful. Like I said, I named this show Impacting the Kingdom, because I believe, like I said, that you, with all your hats that you wear, you are impacting the kingdom. You are really an inspiration. I really want to talk about the book. I want to make sure that I talk about the book. The book is entitled A Letter to a Father, All the Things You Want to Say. Which question I want to ask first? Okay. let's see. I'm never at a loss for words, but there's so much I want to ask you. I'm telling you, you got me like stumped because I never get this way. But you got me stumped because there's so much I want
to
ask you. That's what I'm going to have to do because I might not get it all in right now, and I'm sure that you're going to be coming up with something else that I'm going to have to bring you back on to explain. Okay. Let me see. What is it about this book? Can you let the listeners know how this book came up, how the idea of this book came to you?
I was sitting in a service, and the speaker at the time was talking about there's somebody in here supposed to be an author. And I felt a quickening in my spirit, but I was like, oh, somebody going to be an author. I'm thinking, okay, Lord, who you want me to tell they about to write a book? Because somebody in here about to write a book, but never went any further than that. And one day I heard God say, letter to a father. And I was like, okay, you want me to write a letter to my dad? All right, okay, Lord, I'm going to do it. And then never thought any more about it. And then it was letter to a father. And he said, he gave me the title a long time ago. And he said, a book. And I was like, okay, somebody going to write a book. Again, I'm thinking, this is a word for me to give someone else. Never in a million years did I think it was for myself. And I can hear God as clear as day say, you write the book. And I was like, the book? What book? And he said, letter to a father. And I was like, oh, no, I can't write no book. I'm like, okay, you want me to give this to somebody else still? I'm still thinking it's for someone else. And so I believe I told my husband first, I'm like, I'm supposed to write a book. And he was like, a book? And I was like, yeah, crazy, right? I'm thinking, like, this is crazy. I don't know anything about writing a book. I was in school doing my life coaching certification. Again, had a friend scrolling through Facebook, saw this thing, do you want to manifest your book? I had already started writing a little bit, here and there, little bits and pieces. And it was like, so I called
the young lady and was like, Miss Keisha King. She has a manifestor book class. It was phenomenal. And I was like, you know, are you going to offer it again? Because I'm in school right now. You know, I think that'll be too much. Yada, 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 all these excuses. And she said, yeah, I'm going to offer it again, but it won't be for the same price it is now. And I can hear God saying now. And I was like, but I'm in school and I got all this going on. You know, that's going to be too much. But I went ahead. I told my husband, I said, I feel like I need to take this. And he was like, okay. And so I paid the money and I did. And it was the push that I needed to do what I knew God already had in me to do. Like I said, I would write bits and pieces here and there. The class provided me with the ways to, like, get my ISBN and all kinds of things like that. And she would be like, okay, what's your date? When is this going to be out? You know, she pushed you to be like, oh, you know, I'll do it in a year. I'll do it in this. No, you're going to get it done. It's going to be done. And I was like, oh, my goodness, why did I do this? I should have never done this. I can't do this. And there were moments when I was unsure. It came from my own personal journey with not knowing my biological father, but having a dad, the man who raised me, my dad, come into my life, but realizing at some point that even though I had all of that, Michelle, there was still something missing. There was still a void that I felt. And I knew that I had my heavenly father, but there was still a piece of me that always never felt good enough. And I didn't realize why until writing the book that it was because I felt I wasn't good enough to know my biological father. So in my subconscious, I never feel good enough. I always question my validity to my husband, to my children, to my friends, just in life in general. I feel like for me, when I sat with myself, I'm like, why do I feel like I got to do everything myself? I don't ask for help. I don't want anybody to help me. I can do it. You know, I'll drive myself crazy trying to do it myself. And I'm like, why is that? Because I want the glory. I want the fame from it. I want people to know that I did it. But when I was honest with myself, it wasn't because of that. It was because if I didn't accomplish it on my own, it made me feel not good enough.
Wow.
And I realized that there were so many young women around me that go through life not feeling good enough because one person wasn't there. Or there are people who have lost someone and they never dealt with those feelings. I realized that I had unresolved issues and feelings. Even though I had a daddy, I still felt like, oh, you know, I don't care, I don't know. But girl, way deep down on the inside, it mattered, even though I never wanted to admit it. And I realized that people who have lost loved ones or relationships, a lot of times we just suppress those feelings. We don't deal with them. So those suppressed feelings become issues. We have trust issues. We have love, you know, all the issues that develop from cut ties or somebody not being there or somebody walking away or somebody not pouring into your life. You know, that for a girl, a young, and even a boy, your daddy not being there, you think about that. Like, what? Why wasn't I good enough? And I realized that I never felt good enough.
Wow.
So,
powerful.
And I realized there's so many young people, children, women, boys, you know, men who have gone through life not feeling good enough. Because their mom wasn't there or their dad wasn't there or they lost them when they were young. There are bits and pieces of you that change from a loss, whether it be natural or, they passed on. It takes something from you when that happens. And if you don't address and deal with those feelings, they stay there and they become issues. And then you don't even realize why you have the issue because you never dealt with the feeling. And for me, I realized that in the day that we live in now, we don't communicate except on a screen, whether it be a phone or a computer or text or things. We don't talk. You can see, go to a restaurant. Have you ever looked at a restaurant and looked up and see how many people are not everybody sitting at the table on their phone texting? I remember I was at a restaurant and I'm eating and I'm sitting here like looking at all these couples
And none of them are talking, but everybody's on their phone. And I'm like, why did you come out to eat? Like, what was the purpose? I mean, I know you were hungry.
What was the purpose?
But if this is your date night, we're not even talking. Like, we sit and scrolling through Facebook, on Instagram, Snapchatting. But when's the last time we had a conversation? Sat down and wrote something down other than a grocery list?
Wow.
I realized that writing is just you, a pen, and a piece of paper. So I feel like that gives you a complete and total place to be completely honest about whatever's going on. You know, whether you write in a journal or a diary or whatever, you know, it is, that gives you an avenue to just be completely and totally transparent. And when I started doing that, I realized I had a lot of daddy issues, as they say. Even though I have a daddy, I had a lot of resentment for my biological father. And I've only ever probably seen him 2-3 times in my life. But if somebody said his name, I could feel the anger. It seethed through me. And I would dismiss it like, oh, I did. But when they even said his name in my presence, I'd get so upset. And I'm like, but why? He's never even been there. But I had to sit down and be honest with myself. It was because he had never been there. And it stemmed even into my relationship with my husband and my children.
Yeah.
You know, I always think, am I good enough? Am I good mom? You know, am I a good friend? And I ask my husband all the time. And he'll say, why do you? I'm always like, do you love me? And he's like, yes. Like, you know, like, of course I do. And I'm always like, you know, do I make you happy? And he's like, yes. You know, but I told him in the writing, like, I realized why I always ask you that. And he just looked at me, and he was like, oh, but I didn't understand it. I just thought, oh, yeah, I asked, you know, but I didn't realize that it was because I had so many unresolved feelings and issues.
Yeah. Wow. See, yeah, we're going to have to do another show.
Yes.
Because we're going to have to do another show, and I think it's going to be centered, I'm debating on whether it's going to be about the book, or you know, because I know, because you know what, I want people to go and buy the book so they can read the book, and maybe we can have an open discussion and people can call in about the book, or we could just talk about ministry.
Yes.
Because either way, it's going to be good.
Yes, and that's funny that you said that. That's something that God laid on my heart for people that do read the book, for me to have an open session, because it's so important. There's so many things. I feel like it will really bless people. I've had so many people write and just call me and be like, oh, my gosh, I'm in here in tears. I didn't realize that I needed to write. Because it's like if you got to write to your mama, your sister, your brother, your cousin, there are just so many broken relationships, and we walk away from them never resolving why they're broken. Never, you know, trying to, whether we come to an amicable understanding that, hey, we hello and goodbye is the extent of our relationship, we still have to deal with the feelings and the issues of the relationship, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Whatever went wrong in it, that's why we find ourselves in repetitive cycles and repetitive circles, because we don't deal with whatever we needed to in the first place from the last one. And then you with Lil Pookie and you don't understand why he just like the last boyfriend that you had. It's because you didn't deal with the relationship and the issues that you had in the last one before you got into this new one.
Wow.
And see, that's how the devil gets us. He just keeps us in these cycles. You know, don't worry about her. She resolved the stuff that was going on in the last one. She going to sit right there and she's just going to stay in that little circle, in that little cycle. Oh, don't worry about him. And that's how he keeps us from purpose. Because he keeps us in these little traps, and you're like, I don't understand why I keep finding myself in the same type of situation or in the same type. Have you asked yourself why? Because if you're honest, there ain't no way of all the people in all the earth you got the same person every time you would date them. Every time.
Every time.
Something is wrong with that.
And you know what? I'm a giggle because I have a certain type that I like and have always liked, and that type never works for me.
Okay.
But it's just what I feel like I like. But God sent someone to speak into my life at a church service to tell me that I needed to upgrade what I saw in a man.
Oh, Father.
And you talk about the tears flowing. Those tears flowed and flowed and flowed. So when you were saying that and you end up with Pookie and he just like the last one, I'm like, you know, that's, that's like me because I have this. And I have I have this type. And that's the type that I kind of generate too. But God already told me he need me to upgrade what I see in a man.
Right.
And that's why. So, you know, right now, I'm all right being single. Because I know if I choose him, he's going to be like all the other ones because I know what I like. I know what I like, but God knows what I need.
And I was just about to say, you know what you like, but God knows what's good for you.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
And,
we know.
Obviously, what I like ain't good for me.
Okay. Okay. And
that's
people
why
all
I always
the time
end up in that same foolishness.
I will share this with you. People all the time, they look at me and my husband, and they're like, how in the world are you two together? He's very quiet, very laid back, very reserved. I'm all like, yeah, you know, I'm a talker by nature. I talk to people all the time. And people are, I'm like, honey, it has to be that way. We balance each other. You imagine him being like me or me being like him. Both of us can't talk or both of us can't be quiet. So God allowed us to be together. I said, but as much as he doesn't talk, his word, when he does speak, they're powerful and you pay attention to them. They be like, oh, okay, Mike. I'm like, see, he don't have to talk all the time because he has a wife that does that. But when he speaks, he comes all the way through. And people be like, wow, like, he really smart. I'm like, yeah, he don't have to tell y'all all the stuff all the time. I'm like, but he does. You know, so I'm like, you know, looking at you would be like, oh, wow. But we balance each other. Like, I pull out the talk in him and he pulls out the quiet in me, if that makes sense.
It does. And I'm going to just sit back. I'm not going to pick them no more, Lord. I'm just going to let you do it. I heard you loud and clear because obviously what I think is really not for me. It's really not for me. So that's why I said, Lord, I'm going to sit back this time. I said, Lord, I'm all right being single. Trust me, I am.
Amen.
When you send them, that'll be when you know I'm ready for them because it'll
He'll
be exactly who you created for me. So
for
instead
you.
Of me going out there and getting the same thuggish what I always get, so I'm just going to leave that alone because that's a whole other story, you know. That's a whole other show.
Another.
A whole other show. Okay. Oh, gosh. I don't want to end the show, but we're going to have to do another show because
Absolutely.
There's so much more I want to talk to you about. And you have just, and I keep saying it and saying it, you are such an inspiration. Truly you are. Even to me, even when you're talking about studying the word and doing what you need to do, you make me want to, you know, go another step further in what it is. You know, I know my purpose and I know what it is that, you know, God is calling me to do and I'm working on these things, but you give me that inspiration to go a little bit further. Study your word a little bit more. Study,
right.
You know what I mean? Get and understand. Don't just read it one time so you can say, I read it. You know,
right.
You know, you have all these, you know how it is when you study and you're getting ready to prepare a message and you got all these coordinates out and you got all these things
yes.
you cross-referencing and knowing all that. And I do
yes.
all that. But honestly, when I get up there to deliver the word, half of what I have on my paper, God takes me a whole nother way.
A whole nother way.
You know what I mean? A whole nother way. So, you know, I get the reference. Yeah, that's the reference for this scripture. But that, you know, he gives you a whole nother way to go. But you know how that is. And see, that's why I say
yes,
I can just talk to you about and do a show about ministry.
Amen.
About I can. I really can. But as much as I hate to have to end the show, what I'm going to do right now, I want you to, this is two questions. Well, one question, not really a question, but something I want you to do, and then something else I want you to do. I want you, if you could leave anybody with some encouraging words and anything to inspire them, to motivate them concerning kingdom, whatever it is that you want to say to them to encourage them, I want you to say that. And then I want you to tell the listeners how they can follow you, how they can purchase your book, And if they're interested in life coaching and they're looking for a life coach, I want you to give them all your information about that. I'll give you that space to do that now.
Absolutely. If I could leave anything with anyone, I would just say we all are here for one purpose, and that is ultimately to spread the good news of God that we know, love, and serve so very much. But your purpose is tied to someone else's, and they can't be who their best selves if you don't walk into who God has called you to be. Everything worth having is worth anything worth having you have to fight to get, and understand that the process isn't going to be easy, but it will be so worth it if you just take that leap of faith and say, okay, God, I'm all in. All in spiritually, naturally, God, I give you 100% of me. Is it fearful, a little scary? Sometimes, absolutely, because you're not sure where you're going to go or what it is that he's going to call you to do. But it benefits us nothing to serve him and not walk in the purpose that he has for us. We are just wasting time. We're not building kingdom, and we're not building people. And that's our goal as Christ representatives, and that is to bring people to God. That's why we're ultimately here, God. So if I leave anything with you, it's get yourself attached to a ministry, to a church, to a people that help you be the best you that you can be. And you guys can follow me on Instagram at Tasha's, T-O-C-H-A-S, Moore. You can follow me on Twitter at Tasha Moore, T-O-C-H-A, Moore. On Facebook at, I have a page and it's Your Tasha Moore, but if you're looking it up on Facebook, it's just the at symbol and then Moore Tasha. My name is T-O-C-H-A. I tell people all the time, my parents knew from the beginning that I would be different, so they had to spell my name different. They couldn't spell it like like the normal way. The book is available on Amazon. It's Letter to a Father, All the Things You Want to Say. You can download it on Kindle, or if you have the app for an Android, and then there's a paperback. I do still have a few copies if you're here local. I have some that I can give you. If not, it is available on Amazon.com.
Wow. Life coaching.
Oh, yep. Okay, my life coaching information. It is on my Your Tasha Moore Facebook page, also my Instagram. You can reach me at yourtashamoore@gmail.com if you want some quotes or prices. Also, my website is tashamoore.com. All my purpose and power and life coaching is on there. I do a daily devotional on my Your Tasha Moore page. So you guys make sure to follow me on Facebook. I try to give just a tangible life application every day. I do a little quote and then an excerpt from the Bible and whatever words God gives me on there. So my website is tashamoore.com, T-O-C-H-A-M-O-O-R-E.com, and all my information as far as reaching me and everything is on there as well.
It has been, oh my goodness, and I always do extend my show just a few extra minutes just in case I run over, in case we have like conversation like we had this evening, which was absolutely wonderful. I have loved it. I have enjoyed it, and I'm telling you, I really did not want to end this show. So that lets me know that there has to be a part two.
Hey,
so that'll be in the works.
Thank you so much. It has been an absolute honor and a pleasure. I thank you.
Oh, I am honored. And I say it all the time, and I'll continue to say it, that I'm grateful and I'm humbled because I realize that when you ask people to do something, they don't have to say yes. And when they do, you should always be grateful and you should be thankful. I'm humbled. Mm-hmm. Because you didn't have to say yes, and you took out of your busy schedule because you wear many hats to spend time with me and my listeners. So I thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm going to close out the show, but I will be getting together with you because there has to be a part two. And
absolutely,
as I was talking to you, something came to me, and I'm going to talk to you. I'll reach out to you a little bit later and see what your thoughts are about it. Okay.
Absolutely.
I'm just going to close out. You can just hold on for just 1 second.
Okay.
Thank you guys for listening and tuning in to another week of the Be Inspired with Michelle G show. Tonight, I told you, I promised you guys it was going to be an inspirational show, and the Be Inspired with Michelle G show surely delivered. I thank Pastor Tasha Moore for being on with us tonight. It was a pleasure and an honor to speak with her and to have her impart and just all that good advice that she gave. I thank you guys. I want you guys to tune in next week for another inspirational show. Show begins at 6:30. I thank you all. As always, good night and be blessed.